What do you think? Should we start? Let's restart the actual show.
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Wait, I gotta share it real quick, but we can start. But
I shared it to mine already. You share it to yours. Hey, everybody, welcome to the program. Welcome to Sports Program Saturday Show, live. We are live. It's Saturday, and it's a show, and we're live. Well, I'm getting worse and worse at introducing this show, but hey, it's Saturday. We talk about sports and sometimes other sports, and mostly talk about not sports now. But that's okay, because we're cool. But hey, guess what? If you're listening to the show, that means you're probably listening on Facebook, because that's what we're back on, or you're on YouTube, or you're on Twitch TV, or you're on, geez, how many other platforms could we possibly be on? Well, the answer is a lot that we can afford. So,
yeah,
we found a new streaming service that we could go through that is putting us on multiple platforms. So we're back on Facebook for all of our listeners, and we're back on we're still on YouTube to try to corner in that market. And pretty sweet, dudes.
And you made me bigger on the screen. I really appreciate that.
Hey, you know, I wanted to, give you a little more love there, you know?
I appreciate it. I was like, man, I'm going to look at myself enough.
I think the reason why I had it so small originally is I had it big originally, and then it was small because we kept freezing that time.
No reason to have it big anymore.
But now, I figured out if I keep the main Skype screen up, it does not freeze you anymore in frame. Knock on wood.
So I captioned the stream from my page as I can't tell where the tribal tattoo ends and the tap out shirt begins.
Oh, good show title. Hey, I'm excited to be doing this. Restream.io, by the way, is the Restream service. And no, they don't give us money for this, but dagnabbit, if they're going to start, I'm going to capitalize by telling what service it is. Restream.io, a better way, or whatever. But you know what? Good God, Zach, we already have five eyes on us. Five eyeballs being back on. Being back on Facebook, we knew that was a good idea, and by Jove, we've done it. I don't know if you missed earlier in the week, but the inaugural episode, season 2, episode 1 of Time Spent Poorly show started with Ward and I. That is a new thing, replacing Basement Boys. That is retired. We are now the Time Spent Poorly show. That was a lot of fun. We didn't really have a outline for
the first
episode.
I like the new
logo,
I'll say that. I was like, that is classy as hell.
Yeah, it looks really sharp, and it's going to be, you know, it'll be fun to have that as a flagship. So if you're ever up here on a Thursday, we'll get you in and do the show.
That is straight vodka.
Oh, I just noticed
the nostrils.
I just noticed your shirt. Is that a new one?
No, I've had this guy for a while. It is game day.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of implications, obviously.
Mostly because of the implications.
Because of the implications. So we win. We play y'all in the next round. It's too bad we couldn't win sooner, because then the game would have been this weekend. And
I know.
To it. And now I have a feeling that both games in Portland are going to be weekday games.
Which is
lame. But if we lose, there's also a lot of implications as well. One, we go home. Two, no one's really talking about this, but could this be the final Greg Popovich game ever? And I don't know why. Maybe they're waiting for this game to even mention it. I know they do that sometimes when players are retiring. When Manu retired, like 3 years in a row, they had to do it. Like his game, they're like, wow, he's just playing his heart out. This is probably his final game. And,
right.
It never was. But I know that Greg Popovich doesn't, well, I mean, he would never announce it beforehand anyways. And he's done a really good job keeping the attention on the players, but
yeah,
I think it might be his final game. So, I mean, I will have full interest in that. It starts at 8 my time, which is a little bummer.
Yeah, that's pretty late.
It is a little late. And then I believe the UFC fights start at 7 tonight. So, yeah, I'm going to be...
I was really hoping that the gift I drunk bought myself last weekend was going to be here before today's show. I ordered myself... Drunk Derek bought sober Derek. By the way, I love Saturday's show because I can openly talk about this and I don't feel bad. I don't know if I get in trouble on the other affiliate we're on, but I don't ever risk it. I say bar as minimal times as ever on the other show. Like, I'll say it, but I'm still like, eh, I don't know. Right now, I don't care. But last weekend during on Sunday when Portland was playing, I apparently drunk bought myself a Blazers snapback hat. Good deal too. I was rechecking that. I think I told you I ordered this hat. I was checking the price on that, and that was a $16 hat for brand. It was New Era.
Yep.
Like New Era, nice snapback hat, $16. So no wonder why I drunk bought that for myself. Drunk Derek was like, man, that's a good deal. That's a really good deal. I'm going to buy myself a hat. Do you want to know why?
Do you want to know why?
It's a good deal. So I bought myself the hat, and I was really hoping that it was going to be here today. But boy, it was not.
But it wasn't.
I was hoping to wear it, though, because I wanted to represent for the show. But it'll be here soon, I'm sure. I'm excited.
I'm kind of overkilling it today. Like, I was trying to actually also pepper in some Falcons gear because of the draft. Yeah. But I didn't know where to put it. I don't know where to put it.
I was wearing that Mariners. I was wearing that Ken Griffey Jr. jersey before you even Skyped me, but I looked so fat. So I was like, no.
I was looking so fat.
I was like, not today. Not today.
No.
I'll tell you what I did, though. I went this morning and I went and ran for like 30 minutes, or my best version of running. I did squats. I did push-ups. I did crunches. I did all sorts of stuff this morning. I did that.
I'm proud of you.
I did that today.
I laid around in my own just puddle of depression. So
yeah. I did that yesterday, too. I did it yesterday. So I'm pretty proud. I'm pretty happy about it. I've made some progress. I could tell you the amount of push-ups I can do, not a lot.
Yeah. Full details, not very many.
Not... Not a ton. Not a ton of you.
Full review.
Full review. Okay. So let's talk draft, though. We didn't talk about it very much on Wednesday. By the way, that's notable in and of itself, though, right? Like, not a lot of, like, I feel like there's a lot of momentum going into the draft this year, but, like, not from us. Our interest wasn't as drawn. There wasn't as many quarterbacks that I cared about. Last year was interesting for me because there were so many quarterbacks. I think that was kind of interesting to everybody because of how many quarterbacks, right?
Well, and there was the last couple of years, there's been a lot of potential anywhere between, like, you know, who's the first one drafted, who's the fifth one drafted. Like, potentially they're all starters. And I think by the end of this year, we already saw four of last year's quarterbacks start a game.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Josh Rosen is already not a starter now after this draft, especially. The teams that seem to be looking at him are teams that would probably play him as a backup for a year or two. Stidham? I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah.
The Auburn quarterback just got drafted by the Patriots. So I don't think they're making a move on Rosen. Obviously, we know now that the Giants aren't making a move on Rosen. So what the rumors were is that Rosen, for a lot of those teams anyways, was just a backup plan if they didn't get what they wanted in the draft. So, yeah. So I think the Chargers are really the only team left, and that was the team that I wanted to see him go to anyways. So, yeah, he won't get a start for a year or two, but the other teams besides for maybe New York that were looking at him, that was going to be the case. So,
okay. So, but there's a ton that I, so Rosen and So that was an interesting. That whole thing's been playing out really interesting. I don't think there's a ton of surprise.
Oh, DeRozan was traded to the Dolphins.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I did not know that. I should have checked that before this. He was traded to the Dolphins, which is very interesting.
Isn't that where
Fitz Magic
is?
Huh?
Isn't that where Fitz Magic went?
Yes, that is where he went. And now that makes all the sense in the world. A lot of people thought they even kind of like blatantly came out and said they were planning on tanking another year for next year's quarterback draft class. So it's interesting they just pivoted that fast. I don't know if that means that they see something in Josh Rosen that they just couldn't pass up. Because, yeah, it seemed like they were going to tank for Tua, as they say.
Oh, yeah, I heard that too.
Draft class. And I thought they were on pace for that. I thought they were going to. But it's the NFL, and you really can't go out there and lose even one year, let alone multiple years in a row, because that's how your entire coaching staff loses their job. So maybe they saw something in Rosen where they're like, maybe this is what we should build on. So I think that's an awesome move. I did not see that coming. So
yeah,
I'll have to look more into that after the show to see their intentions for him.
So weird stuff from the draft. I would say the Giants was odd.
Bizarre, man. The reactions were hilarious, but
yeah,
that pick was bizarre
to trade up. So here's the thing: the Giants trading up for it. I thought for sure, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I thought for sure, you know, with Kyler being taken already, Giants trade up. I go, okay, they want Dwayne Haskins.
Did they trade up? I thought was their pick. No,
oh, was
six
it?
Was
okay.
Their pick.
Oh, okay.
No. No.
What was
yeah,
I
that
thinking
was
about?
That was already their
okay,
pick, but
good.
Everyone else was available.
What was I
not only that,
about?
But they also had the 17th pick, and so that's what's bizarre is
yeah.
A lot of people think they could have gotten him with
bad,
17
yeah.
If that's who they really wanted.
But I thought for certain, I don't know for whatever reason, I thought they traded up. But yeah, that's my bad. But I thought for certain, I'm like number six. Dwayne Haskins hasn't been chosen yet. They're taking him. They're gonna
right.
Like that's who they're gonna pick. And then the guy who I thought was not going to be a first rounder. I mean, I thought he'd be lower than like Jackson last year. I thought he was a second rounder.
I think Daniel Jones, I mean, what's really funny about this is if you listen to any of the experts all week, they go, and don't be surprised if someone makes a move on Daniel Jones. Maybe Dwayne Haskins isn't even the second quarterback drafted. So everyone in the media knew this was coming. I mean, that was a story from almost every like news station that I watch is that don't be surprised if Daniel Jones sneaks into the first half of the top 15. But then when it actually happened, everyone lost their shit.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was funny. Like, it's who they wanted, and they didn't think he was going to be there at 17. I know the rest of us did, but they didn't want to risk it.
Well, I know and everybody said the same shit last year for Baker Mayfield, you know, they had 1 and 3, you know,
right.
But I think
everyone thinks they could have got him at 3, but now looking back on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would have. I think if he was there at two, someone would have made a trade up to go get him.
Yeah. And I think, so I also think, I heard yesterday too. It's like, if a team wants somebody, that's who they should pick. Like that's like the mentality. It's like if they have their heart set on somebody, they pick that person because if they take for granted that that person will be lower on the draft, they will lose that person. Like it's like almost like a superstitious thing, but like they take them. That's who they want.
This year's the only difference between this year and last year is last year I actually genuinely think all of the quarterbacks will be good, or at least be. Starters, you know, 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
Rosen's kind of already making that. I thought was already making that iffy, but apparently the Dolphins got him, so never mind. I think that is a lock. They're all still going to be starters down the road. This year, I think that the best quarterback in the entire draft, and really if we just look at the top two best quarterbacks in the draft, one was taken third in Haskins, but the very best quarterback in the draft was taken in the second round by the Broncos, and that's Drew Lock. So I know people have a lot of problems with his decision-making at times, but he is the most gifted quarterback in the draft.
Who is he out of? Where was he out of again?
Missouri. And so one thing was his
poor Joe Flacco. Isn't that where Flacco went?
Yeah, I was just thinking about it when it happened. I'm like, oh, Joe Flacco's maybe making it a year. Maybe.
Yeah.
If they can get Locke's decision-making to be up to par – I think he can take the job by the end of this year. If Joe Flacco doesn't come out there guns blazing, which it's Joe Flacco, so he probably won't. It's just not old quarterbacks league anymore. I know that Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl, but I'm talking about for the people that aren't like top tier. Like if you're not Phil, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, you can't just move to a different team and expect to keep a job.
Big Ben, who just signed an additional 2 years.
So these guys are like, you know, all-time greats, champions,
right?
Whatever. Joe Flacco is not that. I mean, he is a champion, so we'll give him that. But I don't think you can really switch teams and still pull that off. We even saw it with Tannehill. Like, Tannehill had to move and be a backup somewhere else. And Tannehill's still technically young. And really, when he's been playing, hasn't shown anything to say, like, hey, I'm a backup. You know, he's probably good enough to be a starter, but people are just always going to go with either youth or the person who's already there. So that tends to be the case. But I do like Drew Lock a lot. I think that he can take the job from Joe Flacco this season, which is, poor Joe Flacco.
Yeah. So I don't know if you saw, the Steelers made some really good moves in the last couple of days.
I agree, and I love their first round draft pick.
Same here.
I thought they did exactly what they needed to do. You know, sometimes like it's obvious what your team's needs are, but then they go out there and draft best player available instead.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not the best. I know, like my team does it all the time. I mean, we obviously needed defense and offensive linemen last year, and we drafted Calvin Ridley in the first round, and for a while, I was like, man, that's a flashy pick, and it's cool, but we didn't need another wide receiver. Now, then the year happened, and I'm like, okay, I see why we picked him, and that kind of made up for it. But this year, I would say most teams are really going after what they actually need, which is, I mean, if you think about it, like, man,
well, the hell
I don't think any no two teams have had better drafts than I would say the Patriots and the Seahawks. They are loading up in the latter half of the draft, which is what they're both known for doing.
Right.
I mean, takeaway from this year's draft is the teams that always draft well continued to draft well,
and the
teams that always draft bad continued to draft bad.
Right, and I'll throw Pittsburgh in there too. Pittsburgh, Seattle, and the New England are all doing exactly like what you would say chalk. I mean, Steelers are going like linebackers, corners. They just got a running back. They had a wide receiver. Like, they're just going, like, positions that, like, if you go, like, oh, what do they need? Oh, yeah, I guess they need some corner help. Like, it's all in the back end. The one big move they did is in the first round, and it still was, like, it made sense.
The trade up for Bush?
Yeah. But
I thought that was one of the best things they could have done. A team that has kind of surprised me. Ravens are another team you got to say, like, wow, they just keep doing what the Ravens do.
Right.
It was the first year under their new guy who's making the calls, but once again, pretty chalk.
Pretty interesting.
Falcons did what they needed to do. They drafted a lineman in the top 15, and then they traded back into the first round and got another lineman. The team I'm surprised by, two actually. Packers, a lot of defense. They're saying like, you know, let's go out there and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the media was basically saying that they didn't have enough of, they went out and got it. And then the Panthers, I don't want to admit it, but Panthers loaded up. Basically anything they had a need for, they went and got. And then they even peppered in Greer, quarterback West Virginia, who I thought was like probably the fourth best quarterback in the draft. Got him late. It was either the third or the fourth round. So, and fun fact, the entire time they've had Cam Newton, they have not drafted a quarterback. They've always gone after veterans to back him up.
Yeah.
So that is an interesting sign.
Yeah, they, and I think we kind of saw the writing on the wall last year, at least somewhat.
Well, and there's no risk in going after a third or a fourth round quarterback,
right,
or, you know, third round quarterback, whatever. There's not like a huge risk in it, you know, like they're not saying like, hey, there's no pressure on Cam Newton. He's not looking at a third round quarterback and saying like, oh, I'm worried about my job. But at the same time, like, third round's high enough to me to where I'm like, well, this guy could be an NFL starter. So what does that say?
Yeah. Yeah, I no, know. I mean, so far the draft, for it being kind of a quiet draft, for me, personally, doesn't mean that it hasn't been interesting. And I definitely started tuning in, kind of good timing on the draft because of NBA, just because of all the teams that have won out. I mean, like, it's pretty quiet in the NBA.
Yeah, it turned into, like, dead week all of a sudden.
Yeah, because I didn't watch the Clippers and the Warriors, did you?
No, that was last night. I mean,
I didn't watch
Friday night. I was not staying in to basically watch the inevitable. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But no, I will say that in the first round on Thursday,
yeah,
was at the same time as the potential closeout game in San Antonio. So I was obviously watching the Spurs, but I did have two screens going. I was able, because the Spurs game ended before it, I was able to catch like basically full attention last like 5 to 6 picks, where I saw Brown from Oklahoma. That was the first one that I paid attention to go to the Ravens, and I thought that was a great pick. I know he's a tiny wide receiver, but he was the first wide receiver drafted, and he is pretty, like, he has a lot of potential. But the best wide receiver that I think was in this draft, and I have seen over the last couple drafts, was Harry from Arizona State. He's a big boy. And the Patriots got him in the first round in a very unpatriot move. This is the second year in a row the Patriots have pulled an unpatriot move. Last year they went running back in the first round. This year they go big boy wide receiver. They are saying Gronk is gone.
Yeah.
And we are going to do something different again. They are the San Antonio Spurs of NFL teams. They find a new way to win every year. That is why you cannot adjust to them. Like Bill Belichick and Greg Popovich, they are always not just adjusting to how the new styles of the game are played, but they also find ways to like counteract what league, like the direction leagues are going in. So it's like when the NBA became a 3-point shooting league a couple years ago, Greg Popovich went and got a bunch of 3-point shooters and was all about ball movement. This year he realized he wasn't going to be able to beat that, so he's beating it on the inside game. Last year, Patriots go running back in the first round because every other team's passing the ball too much, and they ran between the tackles all the way to a Super Bowl. Next year, they could look like a completely different offense, like once again. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome to watch those teams do that. It is. I do love a good surprise like that. That is fun. I guess the biggest teams I'm interested in is I'm really interested to see what happens with Rosen in Miami. Uh-huh. And I'm really interested to see what happens with Murray in Arizona. I mean, Kyler Murray's going to start, right? I mean, who else do they have?
He's starting day one. I think he's starting day one. We're not going to have like a Baker thing where it's going to take like 5 to 6 weeks. He'll start day one. They went out and got other stuff around him. Vance Joseph, the head coach for the Broncos last year, is their defensive coordinator now. They clearly got him some stuff that he wanted in the draft. I really wanted to hate on this team. I really wanted to say like, wow, they went out and got a coach who didn't even have a winning record in college. And that was already, you know, having to basically move from being a head coach to an offensive coordinator at USC. But I am starting to think it can work after weeks, maybe even months of saying that it can't. I think they're building the team the way that the NFL is meant to be built. I also think that the Seahawks are a couple years away from being back to Seahawk form, maybe one more year away. So, and the Rams are on the decline already. It's crazy how fast that happened, but I can genuinely feel the decline happening. Maybe it could be a very interesting NFC West this year.
Yeah,
don't forget about the 49ers because they're going to have their quarterback back.
Yeah, I was also so I was going to say, don't forget about the 49ers. I was also going to say, I would not be surprised. I will say it now. I am not going to be surprised if the Rams do not make the playoffs. That's a rough. We've seen it before. A team goes to the Super Bowl and then the next year doesn't do anything.
It happens all the time, especially teams that lose the Super Bowl. I don't know how we made it back the year after the Patriots loss. I thought that team would crumble, but we were kind of a rare occurrence there, because we were probably 1 year too soon on that. You know what I mean? Like, when we made the Super Bowl that year, I was like, man, that's a year or two ahead of schedule. This last year, I thought would have been the year where they actually could win it. But then obviously the Deion Jones and Keanu Neal and the rest of the injuries on the defense completely stripped us of that, and a lot of offensive line injuries as well. So it's hard to do. It's hard to come back from losing a Super Bowl. I think the year after Carolina lost in the Super Bowl, they were like a 6-win team. So you see it all the time.
Yeah.
Another thing in this draft, which was interesting, the Raiders had 3 first-round picks, and I liked all but the first one. So at 4, they had the pick of the litter. The only defensive end that was gone was Nick Bosa. The only defensive tackle that was gone was Quinnen Williams. The Raiders needed defense, and they got Farrell from Clemson, which, I mean, all 5 Clemson defensive linemen are going to get drafted. 4 already have been. Doesn't mean, but I feel like that defensive line was so good all the way across the board. We don't know who the actual best defensive lineman was from Clemson. And we also don't know if they all didn't just look good because they're all really good. So we don't know if any of them are elite. He must have tested really, really well at the combine or something, because I don't think he was projected even in the top 10. Some people had him going 15, 16 in projections. So that's going to be a really – it's hit or miss. We don't know. That's the interesting thing about this Raiders draft. I like the rest of it so far. Everything else I saw in the first round, I'm like, wow, they nailed the other 2 picks. It was just interesting because I feel like besides for Quinnen Williams, and I do think Nick Bosa is going to be very good, but I had Quinnen Williams as the best defensive player. I had Josh Allen as probably the 3rd best defensive player. He went all the way to 7th. But my 2nd best defensive player was Ed Oliver, who was the preseason projected to be number 1 pick of the draft. He drops all the way to 9 to Buffalo because he's only 274 pounds for a defensive tackle, and you know the rest of them are about 300 or plus.
Right.
Aaron Donald just was the best defensive player in the league 2 years in a row at the exact same height and weight. So I don't get it. They're like, man, he's just not going to be big enough for it to be a defensive tackle in the NFL. It's like. He's as strong and has a better like burst off the ball. Like he does everything right. So I guess I just don't understand that. But great for Buffalo. They got him at 9 because the Lions drafted a tight end at 8.
Oh boy, the Lions still never still proving they'll never learn.
Right, this is the 2nd time they've done it. They're like, this has only happened like 4 times ever. Coincidentally enough, one of the other 4 times was also the Lions like 4 years ago. For a guy they don't even have anymore, Eric Ebron was never good for them, and now that he has Andrew Luck, he looks amazing. He had the best season of his career, and now it's almost like, wow, if the Colts would have drafted him in the top 15, it would have made sense. Back to the Lions, there's already kind of rumblings, and Matt Stafford just got paid in the grand scheme of things just a couple years ago.
Right.
They might already be in the next year or two looking to move on from him.
Really?
I think it's going to be a Joe Flacco situation, in my opinion. When his contract is up, they will go with somebody else. And I think that's just the new trend of the league.
Yeah.
Just because someone was a big-time paid player at one point in time doesn't mean they're going to get that next contract. Doesn't even mean they're going to get a smaller contract to stay on the same team.
Man, I'll take him.
I mean, good point. Bush is, Sean Lewis was talking about Bush. I think that's such a money pick. You could have drafted like anybody off of the Michigan team this year and been pretty happy with it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is that when I first saw Michigan and I saw I was a defensive player, I was instantly happy about that. So,
agreed. Hey. You keep going. I need like 1 minute. I did not realize my computer was not plugged in.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
I gotta go grab my charger.
All right. Zach's gonna go grab his charger, and I had to reboot a computer too. So that's an interesting. Yeah, that's a fun little thing there. All right. I'm still loading up everything again, but I was trying to go to the chat room to see what people were saying, but my computer's still loading up, so it's a good time. All right. Where did Joey Bosa end up going, though? I never even did see that.
That was a close call.
I had to restart a computer, too, so that's what I've been doing on my end.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, fully prepared today, guys.
Where did Joey Bosa end up going? Or, I mean, Nick Bosa. Yeah, Nick.
Nick Bosa went to the 49ers, and I know some people thought they wouldn't draft him just because San Francisco is a liberal place and he's not a liberal young dude. But thought that was ridiculous. I was like, he's going to be on a team with a bunch of other football players. I'm sure there are plenty of other conservatives in that locker room.
Yeah.
So that was like a big deal for the last like couple weeks leading up to the draft. I don't mean to underplay how good Nick Bosa is by saying that I think Quinnen Williams and a few other players like Josh Allen are better. I don't know. I feel like Nick Bosa is one of those guys who's going to be in the league for a very long time, but I think the upside of the three people that I mentioned is just a little higher.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't even talk about linebackers, or I would have probably also mentioned Bush, because that guy's going to be a stud. You should be very pleased as a Steelers fan.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked, especially since I still feel so bad for Ryan Shazier. It's a shame that his career, ended the way it did.
You see, he's already doing like box jumps and stuff.
Yeah, I did see that.
That's impressive. He is a physical specimen, and now he is also half robot. So
I'm hoping that they, he could be a trainer for that team. I mean, look what he's done.
I mean, yeah, I agree, but I don't think the dude is giving up, by the way. I think he's going to keep trying to play.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think the dude is going to quit trying to be in the NFL.
No, I don't think he's giving up either. I think what they could do is they could bring him in as a trainer and pay him to keep rehabbing and trying to get back. But also,
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll keep him under contract.
But then also have him be training other guys. He's obviously like a physical, like you said, a physical specimen. Let him.
I don't know if what that dude is can get trained to other people.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
it's kind of like when they had Harrison. I'm like, can somebody else, like, I don't know if that mentality can even be passed along. You know what I mean?
Man,
like,
Harrison,
naturally gifted the way that they are, but they also have like a work ethic that cannot be taught to another human being.
I think like
it's kind of like back to like what you were talking about the last show, Damian Lillard working on his 30-foot jump shot. Who else is going to go, oh, that's where the league's going, I'm gonna spend my entire summer working on that? Like,
jeez.
It's just not everyone, the best players in the world, you know?
Yeah. All right, so real quick, I don't want to dedicate a ton of time to this, but I mean, what the heck happened in Kansas City? You know, they had an issue with their running back, then lose him, then Tyreek Hill. Good God,
right,
man!
And the Steelers are known as the team that has locker room problems.
Yeah,
but this is not.
This is not
this
good.
Is not comparable. And yeah, I just saw that the Chiefs said they're going to make the right decision here. I mean, they already showed the whole no-nonsense thing.
Yeah.
With Hunt.
And Hunt, he is on the Browns, right? I mean, he's not going to be playing.
He is. I mean, and they've also issued his suspension. I believe it was 8 games.
Yeah.
I haven't really paid attention to the whole Hill thing so far.
I haven't either. I just heard about it today, actually, when I was going to get my books from school.
What is the investigation for? Do you know?
Well, I believe it is something along the lines of somebody recorded somebody saying he had like domestic violence toward his child.
Yes. Believe. Okay, that's right. Some I remember recording. Hearing about that, but then I thought it was closed, and I just read that it was reopened.
And I think it's some recording. I don't think it's him talking about it. I think it's somebody else talking about it. You know, so obviously I don't want to, like, delve into this because neither one of us are, like, read up on the story at all. But
yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting how, again, it was Kansas City. And good God. Poor Andy Reid's offense.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Pat Mahomes is the one who is going to suffer here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have heard some interesting theories about how his next year will be without, because I think it's becoming blatantly obvious that they're going to keep Tyreek Hill, but he is going to miss some time. So we are going to really see how good of a quarterback Pat Mahomes is. And, you know, if he really is like an Aaron Rodgers caliber quarterback, then he's going to go out there and figure out a way to do it like Aaron's always done. But if not, if this was an Andy Reid offense mixed with the talent that he had around him, we're going to find that out, too. I do think he's super talented, though. So
me too.
I don't think he's going to go out there and look bad. It's just he might not go out there and
look as good, maybe
put up the kind of numbers that he did in an MVP season, which, by the way, is still crazy. He won MVP in the first season that he ever started the whole thing.
Yeah. How does their schedule look this year?
I have not checked their schedule at all. That's a tough division, though. Like, we already know that. We know the Chargers are good. We know the Broncos are going to be better. And the Raiders. That's... And I do not, believe me, I actually do not want to discard the Raiders.
No.
I think people would like to, and I think people have been kind of discarding Derek Carr for like 2 years now, but we forget that like 3 years ago we were talking about him as potentially becoming one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So football's crazy that way. You can be on top 1 year, at the bottom the next, and then right back up there in the top a year or two later. So,
all right, they got... Yeah, not great. It looks like they're playing like the Lions division.
Jesse asked our opinion on the Raiders draft pick so far. Jesse, my dude, my guy. I already talked about that. I don't know much about Farrell, and I didn't think that he was going to be the fourth pick of the draft, but I love the rest of their first round, and I like everything they've done since then. So it was good they finally went out and got a high running back pick, because that seemed to be a huge issue last year, keeping any running back at all healthy. And I don't think you can rely on Marshawn Lynch coming back necessarily. I don't know if he's going to. I know he didn't say he wasn't coming back, but
He say? I thought he did say he was retiring.
He did say that?
I thought he did.
Well, then you absolutely have to go get a running back, but I don't think that you could rely on him for too much longer anyways. Now, they got one of the Alabama running backs, and I was a fan of that. And then they got a safety in the first round also. So it's really funny that everyone assumed with Jon Gruden they're going to go out there and just revamp their offense, and he 100% went defense besides for the running back.
Maybe he hasn't said it. Sources say Lynch plans to retire again.
Yeah, I don't think he has said it, but no. I think he came back and had his fun in Oakland.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would say for the Raiders, though, it really depends how Farrell turns out, because that's the fourth pick of the draft and everyone was still on the board. To be continued on that. I like the rest of it. I said near the beginning of the show, they were up there on one of my surprises. I don't think it was like as good as maybe Baltimore or New England, or even the Steelers, and Falcons got two linemen in the first round, so I'm pretty happy. This was not a overly flashy draft, as you alluded to. This was like I hope my team gets everything they need.
Yeah.
And if they did, then you should be happy right now.
Maybe that's good. Maybe that's good for it, though. Oh, I see Jordy Nelson retired.
Oh, he did?
That's what it says, yeah. In March, end of March. That was a quiet retirement.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know about it, but I'm not surprised.
No, me either. Huh.
I'm now drinking coffee. I really took a turn during this show. It's like the opposite of a heel turn. I'm like cleaning up my life as the show goes on.
So then Golden Tate's in Now I'm just going down the rabbit hole. Now I'm just going down the...
Get out of there. You're just going to distract yourself.
Yeah, I know.
We have basketball to talk, and we haven't even gotten started on it.
Well, let's go back to basketball, then. I think we're going to football for now. I'd mostly just waiting to see how the season starts. I mean, I think we'll have it pretty soon here. Fairly soon here, we'll start doing our preseason picks, though.
Absolutely.
A couple months.
My favorite part isn't the preseason picks. My favorite part is worst to first and first to worst.
Oh, we will definitely be doing that soon.
Yeah. I mean, talking the records is all great, but all the people really care about.
Right. I already kind of gave one of my spoilers, and that's, I have a feeling the Rams are not making the playoffs. I'm saying it now.
I'm with you. I mean.
I feel they don't make it. I'm looking almost at the camera and saying it. I feel like the Rams are not going to do playoff this year. Make it in there. All right. Sometimes you stare so hard, I think you froze.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I get lost from this.
Okay, tonight's Spurs Nuggets final. Okay. I'm hoping it's Spurs. That's who I want to play in the playoffs. At this point, for the Blazers, I think, I'm going Reddit, so I see a lot of Blazers fans feel the same way. Like, being swept the last couple years and then having the dry spell before that, this is a... anything at this point is just sweetener. They got past the first round. Like, if they beat the next round, I'm pretty grateful for it. I definitely, I hope the Blazers fans are not going to be like the Thunder fans were before the series, though, because that was obnoxious. It's never the team. I mean, the Thunder were obviously a very, like, they were a very heel. Boy, the Thunder took a heel role in this past series.
Right, even Paul George did, which is, I thought I said before, or even midway through the series, that he was kind of like the redeeming, he was like the honey to Russell Westbrook's vinegar.
Yeah, honey and vinegar, yep.
Yeah, but I don't know if I agreed with it by the end.
There was
some bitterness there, you know, with the, he took a bad shot, it was a bad shot.
Yes, looked like a pretty good shot to me, but yeah.
I love the Dame comment. He's just like, maybe it was bad defense. I was like, yeah, that's...
Well, just the Dame's, his whole presence and how he was after that game is just, that's going to be, I think of itself is going to be legendary of that whole, of how he carried himself at the end of that game and in the press conferences and even just scoring the point and doing the wave, like doing the wave goodbye. And then
he mean mugged the camera when they're all like dogpiling on
him. They're dogpiling him and he's just mean mugging.
That was amazing.
Yeah. And
I can't remember which one of their players it was. I think it might have been Mo Harkless. Just got absolutely crushed in that pile.
He did, yeah. And Dame is just staring at the camera. Right, so he does the wave, he gets crushed, he's staring at the camera, and then in the press conference, he's talking about, you know, hey, they won that one game, and, Schroeder's pointing at his wrist, and they won that game and just lost their composure, and, you know, we're just done with it. Like, and I thought it was super interesting just how he carried himself through all those press conferences and stuff, which, by the way, I mean, if you watch those games, he bitches at those refs that whole game. Every one of those games, like, that's his thing. Like, he is just as guilty as every one of those players. But people want to call, I mean, I know James Harden is a flopper, but you know what? That's the NBA. I have yet to watch any one of those games where those players are not flopping. It's not as bad as soccer. It's not as bad as soccer, but it is damn close.
Sometimes it's ridiculous. Like,
they're actors.
Especially when they want to sell like an elbow to the face and it doesn't even touch them or it grazes them and they just throw their whole head back like they just got, like, you know, KO'd. I love that, but you can thank Manu Ginobili for all of that. Never forget.
Yeah, no, and exactly. Like I'm personally not one of the ones that's mad about it. I mean, when I'm watching the games, obviously
there's I hate it.
I mean, there's sometimes where I watch it and I'm like, "Oh, come on, stop it, stop it." Like even my team, like I'm like, "Stop it, stop that. That's embarrassing. You're embarrassing the sport. You're an embarrassment to yourself. You're an embarrassment." But at the same time, like, I'm not going to quit watching it. I had a friend who was telling me, he's like, I don't watch basketball because I hate how they flop. And I'm like, I'm not going to quit watching it because of that.
Well, you know, a couple years ago, they tried to enforce that by, if it's an obvious flop, they fine you after the game. And I thought about it. I'm like, what would they do if this became like a problem in college? Because they can't fine them. I think they should just, if you flop like three times in a year, your scholarship's gone, bud.
If in college you flop, they pay you $1 million and then fine you $1 million.
Yeah, but they give you like a week to try and go spend it, but then they fine it. So you have to scrounge to figure out how to pay it back.
And it's called Brewster's Millions 2, and we just came up with a plot to a new movie.
We come up with a new plot every week, I feel like.
I think we do, yeah.
My favorite one was like the Kyrie Irving SNL skit.
Yeah.
Was that for people who didn't watch the Wednesday show, by the way, we both picked our entire new cast for Space Jam. We decided that we don't care about the LeBron James Space Jam movie. We don't even care who's going to be in it.
Yeah.
We just picked our whole new Space Jam cast. And if you were not a part of that and you have a theory on who you think the five should be.
Yeah, you should
know still.
You should chime in.
I still want to know. Yeah, I want to know who people would pick for their five people in the Space Jam movie. By the way, we didn't just pick the five. We changed everything. We got rid of LeBron.
Yeah, oh yeah, we changed. We changed everything.
Wouldn't it be funny if Kawhi Leonard was the main character of Space Jam?
Oh my god.
And he just doesn't deliver any lines.
It would just be such a quiet movie.
It's just like a silent film, but anytime the Toon Squad tells like a joke, he just does that laugh.
So that was the other part of it too, is of after those games, that series with OKC and Portland. People just piling on Russell Westbrook, you know, and he did not help himself with those press conferences. He did not help himself, but man, the worst thing that could have happened to any sport is social media.
I know, it's completely changed the entire game. Giving everyone an outlet to go right at the players. I don't know if I was an athlete, I don't know if I would want to have a Twitter account.
I wouldn't, especially if you're an athlete that gets upset easily, like Kevin Durant.
I don't understand that at all. Like, if you know you get upset easy, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, why are you checking all the time?
Yeah.
So a couple cool things though. I don't want to like spend too much time about the Denver and Spurs series. Yeah. I will say that I still believe that Portland has the benefit of the next round against whoever wins it, especially with all this rest, because I think CJ McCollum needed it. Tonight is the beginning of the Raptors 76ers series.
Yes,
I forgot the Raptors have the better record, so it is in Toronto. So speaking of Kawhi Leonard, who do you think wins this series?
So this is a tough one because my gut. I want to say the Sixers win this.
Right. They're deep. They're so deep as far as scorers go.
They're deep in I'll go this way. With the Raptors, I have watched several Raptors games this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know one player's name.
Yeah.
I know one, and he wasn't a Raptor last year.
Well, what's really funny is so Siakam is their second best player. He's really progressed in this next year with them. But they asked their coach, they said, "Do you guys think Siakam's become your third best player, like meaning behind Kawhi and Kyle Lowry?" And he, I guess he kind of paused for a little bit and thought about it. And he was like, I guess I could say that, but I guess that would mean that I'm knocking him down from being our second best player. But that's the thing is, like, you can be a really good player in Toronto and no one knows who you are.
Right.
In general. But I don't think they have, like, an elite number two. Siakam is slowly becoming that. Lowry is, you know, out of that top 10 tier now as far as point guards in the league. Serge Ibaka has had a really good career, but he's just a role player now. 76ers have more scorers. They have more names. They obviously, yeah. They're Philadelphia, so one of, like, the five biggest media markets in the United States. They have more attention drawn towards them, and I will be rooting for them in this series. But there's one thing that the Portland team has actually proven to me is that with one really, really good superstar,
yep.
And then everyone else knowing their role, you can still beat these, like, quote-unquote super teams. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I think we could have seen that a few years ago, obviously, when Kawhi got hurt, when they were up 26 points against the Warriors in the first round.
Right.
It was like, guess what? If you have one guy who's just absolutely elite and everyone else knows exactly what role they have on the team, you can beat anybody. Another team proving that this year is the Rockets, obviously. And I think they have a pretty decent chance of beating the Warriors. I don't think they do, but I think they have a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
I don't think they end up beating them. I think the Warriors win it. I'm hoping they really beat them up, because then that would really open the floodgates for whoever's on the other side of the bracket, being Portland or Spurs or the Nuggets.
My gut is saying that the Sixers are going to win. I will also admit that I am rooting for that team too. I like three of the players. I actively like. I like Embiid. I like Ben Simmons a lot.
Yep.
I like Jimmy Butler too.
So here's the thing is, like, I loved this team. If people have been watching the show for the last couple of years, Ben Simmons was one of my favorite players of the team that I root for in the East. The second they got Jimmy Butler, I stopped caring. I despise that guy as an athlete.
He's a D-bag, but
he seems like a huge douche. Just a massive douche. Like, if he could, he would wear tap out shirts every day. But they don't sponsor NBA teams.
They don't, because the NBA has taste. On the other token, I do like Kawhi Leonard, so I probably would root for them too, but maybe that's why I would root against them, is so that Kawhi Leonard, so they lose so he can leave.
He's going to leave either way. From what people in their locker room, so current players, are saying, is they think that he's already made up his mind on going to L.A.
Oh, well. Clippers, yeah, though, right? Not.
He did not say that. They said that L.A.
What? I mean, I know it's such a long shot, but how crazy would it be if he went to the Lakers? I mean, that team changes overnight, right?
Absolutely. Kawhi and LeBron together, I know that, like, I don't necessarily stylistically like the two of them together. It makes you wonder who's going to play off the ball, because they both, no matter what either of them ever say, they both want to be the person who has the ball once it gets past half court. But if they can find a way to make that work,
yeah,
I think it completely changes. There's no way they're not making the playoffs.
Oh God.
There's no way they're not a top four team in the West.
Man, it would just, I mean, I don't see it. I don't see it happening, but I mean, somehow, some way, if they can swing that, if LeBron could swing that and they got Kawhi, I mean, I don't want that to happen, because I don't want the Lakers to be a good team, but, boy, that would sure change that team, though. Wow.
Yeah, I still think he goes to the Clippers.
Yeah, same.
But before, I had the Clippers 1, staying in Toronto 2, and LA Lakers 3, and now I'm going to say Clippers 1, Lakers now. Before, I had him at like 1%, maybe 20%, and I would say between 1 and 0 for staying in Toronto. And I think that's even if they win a championship. I think he leaves. If they won the NBA championship this year, I think Kawhi Leonard still leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Also, I think they win this series. That was my slow way of getting to that. had to talk about everything else first. Yeah. I think the 76ers have more great players, but I think the best player in this series is not Joel Embiid. I think it's Kawhi Leonard. I don't think that's close. I think Kawhi Leonard is the second best player in the East. I think it goes Giannis, Kawhi, Kyrie, Joel.
Yeah, I like that.
That's fair. Speaking of that, we might as well, since we're not going to have a show before then, tomorrow, two other series start. Celtics, Bucks, Rockets, Warriors.
Yes. Celtics, Bucks. So for Celtics and Bucks, I mean, I actually am taking Milwaukee over Boston. Only because I want it, though. Hashtag never Boston, man. Dude, fuck that city. I will not root for a Boston city or a Boston team. I can't do it.
Right. It's like, does that city need any more championships in any sport?
Can't do it. I mean, I like a lot of the players on that team, too. I mean,
me too.
I really
me
do.
Too.
And of all of the Boston teams, I don't hate them as much as I don't like the other teams.
No, man. I mean, there's just so much like history, tradition, beautiful arena. Love the court.
I respect
the simplicity of white and just green. No third color.
Yeah. Love the coach.
I like the coach, but
nope.
Also,
no Boston though.
I hate Shamrocks. So. Little leprechauns.
Yeah, sorry, man. No Boston. Can't root for them. Can't do it.
I can't root for leprechauns. I just can't do it.
I
like the team a lot. I think they're just as talented as Milwaukee, but I think Milwaukee was put together perfectly. Back to the role player thing. Brooke Lopez, awesome. Middleton, awesome. Bledsoe becoming an actual like household name now because of this season they've had. I think, spoiler alert, I think Budenholzer better coach than Brad Stevens, and I will take him any day. That is not, actually it is, it's the San Antonio ties. It's the San Antonio ties. I mean, he was the best assistant coach we ever had out of the list of all the great assistant coaches we ever had. Yeah. He is the one who coaches the most, like Greg Popovich, even more than Mike Brown does. I don't know. I think that team's perfectly orchestrated. I think they win this series, and then I think they beat the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Okay. I like that too.
And I don't think it's not me rooting against Boston either. I think Boston's an awesome team. I think whoever wins this series beats Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Not,
I think if
it's
the Celtics
not the
won
team
it,
at all. It's just I don't want that city to have more.
Well, I'm not even saying that. I don't even say one. I genuinely think the Bucks are the better team as far as coaching and Giannis and role players. Giannis is a better player than Kyrie, and the role players are less hit or miss than the role players in Boston. Boston has some great other options, but they don't show up every night.
Now, the other game, Rockets-Warriors, I'm genuinely excited for. Chris Paul's healthy-ish. As healthy as Chris Paul could be.
Healthier than last year.
He is as healthy as he can be for Chris Paul.
He's trying.
Yep, he's as healthy as he can be. And I love these two playing each other, these teams. I'm not rooting for either team. I guess it'd be nice to see Golden State not go. But realistically, I just don't see it happening. I see Golden State winning again. I think Golden State's just going to win it again. This series.
Yeah, that's just not too far-fetched. I agree with you.
Yeah. I also think we could see this go seven. We could see it go seven games.
I think the LA game, the LA series, just losing two at home, I think that is going to make people want to jump on the Rockets bandwagon. But I think ultimately, the Warriors still have two of the three or four best players in basketball.
Right.
Then they also have Klay Thompson and Draymond Green.
Right.
They have Andre Iguodala off the bench if they choose not to start him. I do think they are less deep been in a year in the past,
yeah,
as far as bench goes. I think when it goes to their bench, you don't know. But they can they have four of the best players in basketball. They can stagger their minutes. They don't all have to come off at the same time, and they don't do that anyways.
I'm also
teams with two good guys, they do that, you know.
I'm also super bummed / pissed off that Boogie Cousins is not going to be in this, because I'm sure there's still beef there with him and Chris Paul. I'm sure. And it would have come out during this.
I think it would have too, but I don't think we need to see that for this series.
No,
I think,
but
there's
still
going to be plenty of heat otherwise.
I just remember those, you remember those, you know, back in the day when it was Pelicans and Clippers. And
right.
And those two, they those guys just hated each other.
Well, I'm sure Boogie's still going to be jabbering on the sideline. That's what he does.
Yeah, he'll be there. I just it would have been nice to see him play. I like Boogie Cousins too. I like Chris Paul too. I mean, I like both of them, and I think Cousins is, man, his career, it's a shame now. I'm we're getting to where we're starting to say that now. It's a
shame.
I mean,
that's just the story of really big guys in the NBA, and
yeah,
that's not even recently. That's just forever. Like a
yeah,
lot of them get hurt.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't make it long. But I will say about this series, I do think the Rockets have what's called a shooter's chance, because what if they get hot for multiple games? If they get hot for multiple games, it does not matter how good Golden State is. And you can say that both ways. If Golden State gets a lot of fast break opportunities, their Clay or Steph or Kevin Durant just can't miss a shot, they could really blow these out. But even if this goes seven, doesn't it feel like they could just all be blowouts both ways? Like,
yeah,
there might not be a single close game besides for maybe – if there was a game seven, I'm sure that would be close.
Wasn't that kind of how it was last year? Is that
that's kind of how all series in the NBA are.
Yeah, they're just weird. They're weirdly blown out every year.
Yeah.
Every
I don't know.
Game.
I thought that there was plenty of good games in the Oklahoma City –
I thought so,
Portland
too.
Series.
Yeah.
There's been a couple in the San Antonio. Like, San Antonio won by over 20 the other night, and that's the first time that they had a 20-point lead on Denver. So the games they've won have been close. But overall, it's been a lot of blowouts, as per usual.
Yeah. The best game, in my opinion, has been that game five for OKC in Portland.
I agree.
Most exciting.
The final game. Yeah, the final game. How could you beat that, right?
Yeah. What's that mean?
It sealed the deal, had just an amazing ending. Once again, the Dame face.
Yeah, man, just a perfect ending to a perfect series. It was good. It was good stuff.
If there was a series that would have very close scores, I do think Denver-Portland could be that. I don't know about San Antonio-Portland, because Greg Popovich, when he loses, he loves to lose hard. He pulls his starters earlier than other teams would, so then the lead gets inflated by the other team. He doesn't like to show any more plays with his starters that you might see in the next game.
Yeah.
So when he loses hard. That team just loses harder on the road in general. So I have a feeling that there could be a lot of blowouts in that series both ways.
Yeah.
But I think Denver likes to give teams a run for their money, no matter, like, if the odds are against them, it doesn't matter. They're going to try till the end. I think they would make that series really good. And I do think this Boston-Milwaukee series, if both teams decide that they want to play four quarters of defense and we don't see a bunch of scores get inflated to 115, 120, if we see some scores around 100, I think we're going to have some really good close games where – you got to like Kyrie in those situations, right? But also, is Al Horford or whoever they're going to decide to put on Giannis going to be able to stop his drives to the basket at the end of games? That last series, there was like seven different people they tried to put in front of Giannis, and he just ran right through every one of them. So
yeah,
this is going to be awesome. Tomorrow's games are going to be really cool.
I'm really excited. You said there's some UFC today, right?
There is some UFC today, and
I'm gonna start some music.
That,
do you want to do some
Greg
picks?
Greg Hardy was the co-main event, and I was a little bummed about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, hold on. Let's stop the action real quick.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew, baby.
Oh,
went
yeah?
Went in the sixth round. Washington State Gardner Minshew went to the Jaguars. Nick Foles has got a backup, and that is a great pick that late.
Yeah. Wow.
I am impressed by them.
You, sir, are impressive.
I think Gardner Minshew can actually be pretty decent.
No, that's pretty cool.
I actually, like, I liked Luke Falk last year. I thought he had a good chance of being like, you know, like a maybe even like a 10-year backup in the NFL. But I think Gardner Minshew is the type of guy who could go out there and steal a starting job in the next couple of years. And Nick Foles away from Philadelphia is the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Man, I'm not saying that'll happen this year, but what if Nick Foles just goes out there and just lays an egg all season?
Oh, man. Which could very well happen, yeah. Hey, you know what that sound is?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so for tonight, real quick.
Yep, that's what we're doing.
I got Jacare winning.
Okay.
In the main event. I'm going main event first just because I feel like the main event is the best fight on the card.
Okay.
Greg Hardy wins. I think they're setting him up to win his first couple fights. They do that with people they're trying to push in the organization. Weirdly, Glover Teixeira is like fifth on the card. I think Glover has a nice little comeback tonight. I like John Lineker in his fight. He's barely a favorite. But the big one is like sandwiched right in between the main event, and it's Alex Cowboy Oliveira and Mike Perry. Mike Perry, if you do not watch fighting, is a douche. So this is the ultimate douche card, by the way, top to bottom. There are douches peppered all over this card. It is a lot of tribal tattoo.
Oh, good.
In one place. I mean,
a very reoccurring theme for this episode.
Yeah. But Mike Perry is flashy as heck to watch. I mean, he can knock anyone out at any time. He's aggressive. He's got a great fighting style. I think that Alex Oliveira is going to chop the leg. It's leg kick city day, and he's going to chop a tree until the tree falls down. I got Alex Oliveira winning. There's a reason he is the favorite in this fight. I don't know. If you're paying attention, I picked all favorites. All
right.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
No underdogs tonight.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening to the show. Giving it a good watch on whatever platform you're on, multiple platforms. We'll be back on Wednesday this week. Last Wednesday was a great show. I want to keep that energy going. Today was a great show. Keep that energy going. Good stuff. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games tomorrow. Enjoy UFC tonight. And
Spurs tonight. Go Spurs.
Yeah, go Spurs. Enjoy Art Under the Elms if you're in Lewiston. Good stuff.
Good stuff.